This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. This month, our sustainability desk is going to be bringing us stories about water, about that thing that is so essential to life, but that typically we take for granted, like it's a cheap, infinite resource that is always going to be there, until it's not. We're going to start in a part of the country surrounded by water, a place where there are streams and rivers, lakes, including one of the biggest lakes on the planet. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner went back to her hometown of Waukesha, Wisconsin, population 71,000. It's a city that has gone, as one writer put it, from water destination to water beggar. Here's Sarah.
When my family moved from Chicago to Waukesha in 1969, I'll be honest, Dad was the only one who wanted to move here. After all, who'd heard of Waukesha? All I knew was that it was somewhere west of Milwaukee. Everybody complained about the one-way streets, and there was a gigantic fiberglass cow in front of the milk bottling plant. But then something happened. Just like every other school kid here, I learned Waukesha had a past, an interesting past.
Waukesha was known as the Saratoga of the West.
John Shane Connect is one of Waukesha's unofficial historians. In the late 1800s, he says, Waukesha was famous for its water. People flocked here during the summers, 25 trainloads a day, to drink cold, pure water from dozens of mineral springs around town. They thought the water could cure everything from diabetes to depression.
Okay, we're going to enter that spring house.
This small octagonal building houses one of the few remaining springs in my hometown.
Whoa, what's that?
That's water.
Is that spring water?
Yeah, that's...
Looking over a railing down into a spring basin lined with marble, you can imagine a time when good drinking water wasn't taken for granted. Shane Connect says they even had dipper boys here to serve it to you.
They would have the rack of glasses that they would dip down into the water, and then you would give them your penny standing up here along the railing, and they would hand you the glass of water.
So a penny a glass.
Penny a glass is pretty much what we figured they did.
And when a savvy entrepreneur tried to pipe Waukesha's water down to Chicago for its World's Fair in 1893, townspeople defended it with their pistols and rifles. Eventually, the springs and fancy summer resorts here fell out of fashion. Most of the springs got paved over or dried up as the city developed. But Waukesha's reputation for good water survived, even when grittier industries moved into town.
Waukesha was really pretty much of a foundry town.
That's Bob Winchell, a family friend who grew up here during the 30s and 40s.
There was a Waukesha Foundry, Spring City Foundry, General Malleable, General Casting, it was called.
All the factories needed water, of course. To meet the demand, Waukesha drilled new wells. And that demand really took off when Bob and other young men came home from World War II.
Bunch of young men. Everybody wanted to get on with their life, getting married, having family, building houses, and businesses were expanding.
By 69, when my family moved here, Waukesha was a suburb with almost 40,000 people. The houses in my neighborhood had that Brady Bunch feel, and the dairy farmers just a few miles away from us were selling out right and left to developers wanting to build more houses just like them.
They were just coming into City Hall like crazy, wanting to annex.
Paul Vrakas was mayor when I lived in Waukesha. I reached him by phone in Florida, where he wisely escapes the Wisconsin winters. He led the city during much of its big growth spurt in the 70s and 80s.
It was like having a tiger by the tail, and I think we did a great job.
Vrakas says if the city hadn't annexed all those new subdivisions that wanted city water, developers would have built them anyway, but on oversized lots with private wells and septic systems that eventually would fail.
We, of course, had the treatment plant, state-of-the-art treatment plant, and municipal water. So it made sense for the city to accept the growth and do it properly.
Nobody back then worried about the water supply. Waukesha paid some of the lowest water rates in the state. In fact, the more a customer used, the lower the rate. Peter Annan, author of The Great Lakes Water Wars, says the city's policies actually encouraged lawn watering.
Because you got a credit on your water bill if you had water that was used but didn't end up back in the sewer system.
No wonder Dad let me play in the lawn sprinkler for hours. But in 1987, the water I'd treated as a plaything officially became a problem. The state put Waukesha on notice. Its drinking water was contaminated. Radium levels were over twice the legal limit. Decades of overpumping had lowered groundwater levels hundreds of feet. And the lower you go, the more radium and other contaminants, says Dan Dukniak. He heads the Waukesha Water Utility today.
We've drawn down the aquifer to the point where we're pulling up the water that's contaminated.
Radium is a naturally occurring metal that's common in sandstone aquifers. Problem is, with a lifetime of exposure, your cancer risk goes up. The state ordered Waukesha to fix its radium problem, but it didn't. Instead, the city resisted. It fought regulators and ultimately sued the EPA. Fixing the problem was going to be expensive, and many in town, including Vrakas, thought the government was overreaching.
And in fact, the Argonne Laboratory said that that amount of radium was no hazard. And many local doctors told me the same thing as well.
Nearly two decades later, Waukesha lost in federal appeals court and decided to stand down. But by that time, the city's population had grown another 20%, and its water quality had grown worse. Author Peter Annan.
Waukesha is this poster child of what can happen when you assume that water will just always be there. And what surprises a lot of people is that here we are in one of the richest water areas of the globe, and yet we are still fighting over water here in the Great Lakes region.
Fighting because cities like Waukesha know they need a secure water supply to keep and attract economic investment. Right now, Waukesha's pinning its hopes on an expensive proposal to pipe in water from Lake Michigan. That's something those pistol-packing Waukeshans who didn't want their water piped out to Chicago probably never could have imagined. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Our series is called Water, the High Price of Cheap. Sarah picks up the story tomorrow. We'll find out why Waukesha's plan is attracting national attention and controversy.